So you just need to do it in studio and have a talking stick.
Talking stick. That is my penis. If you're holding my penis, you can talk.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Episode 12. Everyone's a winner, baby. With Ben and Morgan.
Happy New Year to you, Morgan.
Happy New Year. Whatever's of. You're in space, Ben. Are you in space? Do you just feel
come
like
in,
in space?
Ground control.
Ground control. Ground control. Yeah, we've never had co-host television's Benedict Gracewood coming on Skype.
No, I'm in quarantine on this on the end of the Skype.
Have you got the plague?
Studio 2A.
Have you got, have you got herpes?
So. Something horrible. Either that or it's just caffeine withdrawal and dehydration from this fucking hot weather.
Oh, God, isn't it?
Sweat. Oh,
it could be caffeine withdrawal, but, I mean, when's the last time you had a coffee?
Well, it's not a long time ago, but the thing is, on a regular work day, you know, I'd probably chug back three before lunchtime.
Yeah, I have two or three.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I thought you were cutting out.
I don't think I'm cutting out.
No, you're good. You're good.
Listeners, welcome back to the show. It's going to be a train wreck. I'm trying something new. Let me just get the energy up a little bit here. I'm trying something new. I'm not having any booze. I'm having a monster energy drink, 500 mils.
So you won't have caffeine with all issues.
All right. So that sound, that terrible sound in the background is remote Skype guest Mark Derrickett, who apparently has taken off his headphones and is wandering around clanging his keys together as hard as he can. Maybe he's got bags of coins from the bank, which he's pouring out onto a concrete floor. Whatever it is he's doing, he's making a lot of noise in the background. And I don't know, can I silence him in Skype? No. How do I silence him? I only have to disconnect him. Is that the only option? Hey, Mark.
Bag of tips into his microphone.
Mark, bro, put on your headphones and shut the fuck up. All right, I'm going to hang up on him. Yeah, he's gone. We need a sound effect of two trains going at full tilt. There'll be steam trains with the chugga 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 chugga. That sound, clackety clack, clackety clack, and then we see a view of just like, you know, a Midwestern American plane in 1890. The two trains come into view from either side of the frame. Bam in the middle. Train wreck.
Yes, that's the show today.
That's the show. I mean, we're only a few minutes in, if that. And we've already hung up on a guest who couldn't hear us.
But it's a new year, so let's power on with the new year.
It is a new year. Now, how do you feel? I always thought that that it was 2010, and some people would say, no way, why would you say that? It's 2010, bro. I don't like it. I don't like 2010, and I dislike 2011 even more. 2011. That's the year, not 2011.
And 11 or just 2011?
Oh, you can say either way. I probably would say 2011.
I was okay with 2010, but I'm not happy with 2011.
2011 sounds shit.
Silly.
This is the insightful commentary that we're bringing to you, the first episode of Discourse for the year 2011.
So what happened in 2010?
A whole lot of things happened in 2010, for one thing. And the most important thing to us is the founding of the Discourse Empire.
That's quite true. That was a major news story of the year. I thought this article from the Herald was interesting because it's basically a rundown of their top discussions.
Yeah.
We all know that that New Zealand Herald Your Views is the pinnacle of news discourse in New Zealand, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I really love Your Views. It's definitely not full of the baying and neighing of barnyard animals, if it's okay for me to steal that phrase from Penny Arcade.
I wish they would actually do a real time, a real one, which was like, gravity, do you agree?
I strongly disagree with gravity, but John Key says he's quite relaxed about it.
I think the debate would be brilliant. So, the number one news.
Gravity's never done anything for me, and I think it's just it just props up the bludgers. It holds them down on their sofas so they don't get a bloody job.
Yes, gravity is to blame for all of our inability to catch up with Australia.
If there was no gravity, there'd be no fucking cyclists in their goddamn lycra.
Funny you should say that. That was the number three most discussed story.
Surely not. Really?
On the field. No, wow. Yeah, three. The safety of cyclists.
Wow, golly.
Yeah. And including gems like, I passed three cyclists on Tamaki Drive today listening to their iPods as they rode in rush hour traffic. That Come is, on, guys, that's... meet us halfway here. What, halfway dead?
Yeah, how, I mean, what? I actually think it's incredibly stupid to wear headphones while cycling.
And I agree.
And I partly agree with the criticism of that person who otherwise I think is probably quite a, you know, basically a moron. Cyclists shouldn't do it, but what do you mean meet them halfway? Were they otherwise riding safely?
I don't know.
Was he in your way?
Well, I think the best one of this was someone off Twitter who said, I'm not a cyclist, I'm a car driver. This isn't us and them problem here, it's an us problem. Cheers. It's quite a succinct summary.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Mm. Got into a bit of a rowdy argument about the cycling thing at Christmas dinner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, one of the family friend was there, and she says that she has been stalled behind the peloton around Tamaki Drive, where they were riding certainly not two abreast, and riding slowly, so taking up much more space than they should, more than legally they should. And then when drivers, you know, while driving past, I don't know what the tone would have been like. If it was me, I would say, "What the fuck are you doing? You cock, get out of the way." But it was presented to me as if they asked what they were doing, and by way of reply, they got the fingers.
What was it? Sunday morning, Saturday morning?
No,
everyone was, I guess, was in a massive hurry.
Well, I don't know.
It's part of what makes it to me, Peloton's blocking traffic is actually. I'm on the opposite side. I think it's great because it's kind of a cultural,
especially around Tamaki Drive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you taking?
I used to live
out
in Dowie, and so that was my main commuting route every day.
Right.
And commuting, no issue whatsoever. But Saturday and Sunday, absolutely. You drive down and you'd wait until the traffic lights or wherever, and you know, cruise along behind these guys, and they were quiet. You know.
Yeah, and there is an alternate route.
Yeah.
It's not the only way to get from out there. And you're not a surgeon on your way to a life-saving operation, are you?
No, there's no hurry.
No.
Mm.
And if you were, I would suggest that you live close to the hospital.
Can you guess what the number, number one discussed story of the year was on the Herald?
I'm going to guess the number one discussed story of the year, it's going to be something of global importance, something where lots of lives were lost.
You're putting on a brave face because you already told
tragedy.
You what it is.
It's some kind of tragedy, some kind of natural disaster.
Like the BP oil spill or the Chilean miners or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
No, it was Paul Henry.
Oh, for fuck's sake! We can't escape from that little toady-faced motherfucker. Why can't we escape from Paul Henry, Ben?
Like I said, if your views is the zeitgeist, then the guy's in it.
He is he's in it. I would like he to see, he's zeitgeist. In it up to his neck. I would like to see his face pushed under.
Pushed into the zeitgeist, drowned him.
You've got your views in my eyes.
I don't despair. I think it's interesting. I think it's a sign that, what is it a sign of?
That we don't have enough celebrities in New Zealand.
There's that. There's also
that we
that,
only
that
like trivial
don't
stuff.
Don't understand casual racism and its effect.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, I mean, doesn't everyone in the workplace have a massive mix of races?
I certainly do.
Yeah.
But then I work at the largest employer in Auckland. So,
they don't matter to me. Natural. Yeah. I mean, you know, they matter to me, but their skin color doesn't make a difference.
I made a terrible faux pas. I assumed that one of my colleagues, we were swimming on just off Rangitoto, we just jumped off a pier there after power walking up that motherfucker of a mountain. Jeez, it's a lovely day trip, but man, it's hot work walking up that hill. So we jumped into the sea on the way back to the ferry.
Yeah.
I, for whatever reason, I'd assumed he was Māori, but no. He's like, who are you calling Māori? I'm Niuean. Well, I mean, he didn't actually say it like that. I think it's something that may have happened before because, I mean, it kind of looks Māori, but is that my way of saying they all look the same to me, all these people who are, Pacific and, brown Pacific? And I'm a Pacifican too, but I'm clearly a white Pacifican.
It's very hard to tell the difference. And that, I guess that doesn't underline the point that it's irrelevant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Crikey. So that's a sound that came through my speakers. I wonder if it was on mic. This is the return of Mark Derrick. Let's get him on, eh?
Okay.
We're keeping this one casual, listeners. It's a lovely summery evening in early January. So how do I add him? Do I just click that? Hello.
Good evening.
Sir. Welcome back.
We've got a guest on Discourse.
So you're really noisy.
I am.
Yeah. That sound of your keys, I've got to tell you, it's not music.
The sound of keys.
Oh, well, whatever it was that you were jangling on your way in and out of your of Studio 25.
That was probably the shopping.
Yeah, plastic bags jangling around, all sorts of stuff, yeah.
Was it a plastic bag full of empty tin cans?
No, there was milk, there was Weet-Bix.
All right, neither of those things explain the sound.
And my keys.
Yeah, it was your keys. All right. Hello, listeners. Just to upgrade your listening experience, he's talking about the sound of his shopping, and I'm eating soup while talking into the microphone. Maybe Ben, can you save this recording?
So number one news discussion of the year on the Herald was Paul Henry.
Still, it's very disappointing.
And number three was the safety of cyclists. So number two, and squeezed in the middle there, was a natural disaster, Canterbury earthquake.
I thought you were going to say it was Paul Henry again. Paul Henry, number one and two. Cyclone and had, Paul.
Paul one, Paul two. But no, the Canterbury earthquake was the second response, second most discussed. And there weren't, thankfully, any comments. They haven't highlighted any that say earthquakes just...
it's God's way of punishing Christchurch for allowing the faggots and prostitutes. I've made it my life's work to rid the streets of one. I'll leave you to guess which. Seriously, what is it about Christchurch men killing women? How the fuck does that happen? What is wrong with those men?
A lot. I'd say a lot is wrong with those men.
A lot is wrong with those men.
Fourth, then following from that, so after the, number one, Paul Henry, the Pike River 29 was number four.
It's 29 workers, of course. But
29 people died. It was less. I mean, this is a bit, I suppose, a bit silly because it is the discussion forums.
A comment from Twitter, NZ Top Model Colin. Thinking of the good citizens we have lost, Pike River, we will live a little more for them, be a little kinder, laugh and love a lot more. I don't know about you, Ben, but I have not changed my life in any respect following the Pike River explosion. And talk about overstating it. What a drama queen.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But congratulations. You got quoted in the Herald, even though your show's not currently on TV, Colin. Well done.
But this is, I mean, I felt...
Did you know that he's New Zealand's hottest curry?
Is he? Ah.
Are you going to quit the show, Ben? Was that racism?
I'm tempted. The thing that interests me, though, is I actually tweeted a bit of a belligerent tweet when this all started, that because I just read someone saying cyclists know the risks when they go out on the road. Yep. So, they know the risks and they're up for it.
Yeah.
I do know that there's a risk of riding a bike, but I don't expect to go out and get killed every day. So when the mine explosion happened, I said, well, miners know the risks of going in mines. They know there's gas down there.
Yep.
They know there could be an explosion.
Yep.
So why are we, why are you guys being upset about 29 miners who've just died?
That's why I think it wasn't a national tragedy, the national tragedy that the media tried to portray it as. A national tragedy was when that viewing platform, that doc viewing platform, collapsed and killed all those school kids.
Well, it was a national tragedy. Both of them are national tragedies, was the loss of, how many cyclists over the last couple of years? 20, 30.
Right. Well...
And this is.
I guess this is the old story. Comedy is tragedy is when I give myself a paper cut, and comedy is when you fall down a manhole and die.
Yes, it's all about your perspective.
Tragedy is in the eye of the beholder.
And then running down the list, Pete Bethune, whaling activist.
Good old Pete, eh?
Bit of a debate there.
Yeah, no surprises there. I bet. I mean, wow, the Japanese spin machine on that is incredible. Trying to call him a terrorist. How do you call him a terrorist?
And they're at it again right now. They've got a new fast boat. And I caught a bit of their show on Discovery Channel.
Yeah, what's that, Whale Wars?
We should get sponsored by these guys.
Yeah.
Whale Wars. Yeah. It's a show produced by the Sea Shepherds. And it is kind of interesting. They're kind of how much chasing around they do to try and slow the boats down and this sort of thing.
Mm. Well, but what they're trying to do is make it entirely uneconomic, right?
Yes.
I've never actually seen the show, but I mean, I've heard that. I mean, I guess it's a like it or hate it thing. It's quite polarizing, apparently, from what I've seen from online discussions of the show, the message they get out of it is that Sea Shepherd are a bunch of inept, bumbling buffoons. And other people, the message they get is, wow, at least these guys are giving it a go. I actually tried to give them, because I'm actually kind of in favor of some of their tactics of slowing things down and, you know, taking direct action, which, as far as I can tell, hasn't killed anyone, which is quite nice. I tried to give them some money, but on their website, I just couldn't find any way to do it. Hopefully they've improved that now.
So, yeah, they're good terrorists, but very poor SEO. Skills.
I would say that they weren't terrorists in any respect, in any sense of the word. Just like Julian Assange is not a terrorist. For fuck's sake. Oh my God, the spin machine on WikiLeaks is incredible. Oh, wait, is it all right if I mention WikiLeaks this week? Because we're going to talk about it next week and every week thereafter all year.
Yeah. Well, it's dying away quickly, though, isn't it? And out of the news very quickly.
It was last year's news.
It'll be back because Assange will be back. Now, I've watched a couple of interviews with him, Al Jazeera, and was one on BBC or somewhere. He also gave a TED talk, but was more of a conversation/interview than talk. He is really well-spoken and extremely charismatic.
I guess that's why he's got to where he is, yeah.
If it wasn't that he seemed to be the good guy, he would make an extraordinary Bond villain.
He's got the right look as well.
That white hair and very tidy, very kind of dapper. So what were the other top stories?
So we had the whaling activists, then out of the alcohol debate, the union and wage debate, and the Hobbit.
Oh, God.
And then is it time to change the New Zealand flag? I wonder if that's in the top 10 every year.
Would it be a spoiler, Ben, for me just to say yes? Yes, it is time. The Union Jack doesn't represent a lot of New Zealanders.
But if you think, I mean, yes, I agree, it's probably time to change the flag. And
the Union Jack, I mean, where the fuck does the Union Jack even come from? New Zealand was discovered by Pacificans, right?
That was interesting. There was some new news recently about that, wasn't there? With new carbon dating evidence that just brings them forward a couple of hundred years. But it's still obviously, yes, Pacific. People were the
forward a couple of hundred years from 1200. Are you saying that Maori only arrived in 1400?
Yes. No. They said 600 to 800 years. Whereas no, the thing is the Maori. What do they call it? The kaupapa. Their story. Report it means they've been here for 1300 years or so. I could be getting.
Oh, that's definitely not true.
Well,
if that's the claim, it's easily verified that it's not true.
Well, the thing is, when you read the articles on this, the earlier carbon dating said it was around about 800 years ago.
Yeah.
But the historians take the view that the story record is more accurate.
Yeah.
And so they assume that they have been here for their length of time.
Yeah.
But this is another scientific fact saying that they haven't been here as long.
So the historians say anecdote is more accurate than evidence. Fuck you, historians!
Again, I've read one article on this, one opinion, so I could be completely wrong.
What did they use for their time chronology back then anyway?
This would be right up your alley, Mark, because you are you a young earther?
No.
Mr. Christian?
No.
Is it wrong to cubbyhole you like that? You can be our religious affairs correspondent. I guess Ryan is kind of already that. Except he doesn't want to say anything about it.
That's 4,000 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Earth is definitely no more than 33 Six. Years old because you all popped into existence when I was born. And if you're older than 33, you are mistaken about your belief. I have a very compelling story, which many historians find to be more accurate than any evidence that you can present.
Mm.
See how I tied that back in? So New Zealand flag.
Union Jack. Yes, it's time to change it. But imagine, if you imagine the debate over Paul Henry, imagine the debate over New Zealand flag that should probably correctly include some sort of Maori symbolism on it.
Well, maybe, or just Pacifican, just something that expresses our location in the world. And I think, do you know what does that really well? The Southern Cross. We've already got it on the flag. Just lose the Union Jack. Done.
Yep, sounds fine.
Was there a Tui flag proposed?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A Tui, you mean the big bear brand, or a Tui the bird?
The brand.
Mm, yeah, an orange flag? I'm not in favour of that idea. Now, what's that? What's that dodgy, divisive flag, which some a very small group of very politically active Maori claim represents all of Maori? What's that flag?
I can't remember.
It's the one with the little swirl.
The United Tribes.
No, they're not United.
I know, but it's the flag. Isn't the
flag? No, the United Tribes is a different one. There's like four different Maori flags.
United, you know what would be good for?
Maybe we should get an expert instead of speculating.
I love speculation. It's early January. Yeah, the United Tribes flag actually is very interesting. It's a white field with a large red cross, and in the top left corner there's a smaller red cross, and each of the quadrants created by that cross there's a blue field with a white star on it. It's actually
right, it does have the Southern Cross in it, yeah.
Yes, but it's quite an ugly flag.
Well, there's another article that says the list of New Zealand flags, and that has a lot of things in it.
Oh, excellent.
Including the Tino Rangi Te Rautanga flag, that's which the is one. The one that I actually quite like the look of it, but it doesn't have a Southern Cross.
And its history, its background, is actually quite sketchy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for that. Yeah. But they don't seem to have the United Tribes flag in here.
Oh, yeah, no, that's the top one there. That's the one directly above the Tino Rangi Te Rautanga flag. You don't see that?
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. Great radio.
Yes. Hello. We're going to discuss flags on Discourse. quite a visual media. We're going to do a dance about the taste of the soup.
I think we should move on. Otherwise, we'll be here till 10, and I'll be asleep. Just quickly, that other stuff actually did happen in 2010 outside of New Zealand.
Oh yes. But I don't.
This is a New Zealand podcast, but you know, really reasonably major things that are probably slightly more important than a debate on Paul Henry, like the world's biggest ever oil spill.
Biggest ever oil spill. I find that very hard to believe. I would have heard a lot about I'm sure.
Sorry. There was a bigger one in Iraq, wasn't there?
No, that's a blood spill, Ben. It looks similar in black and white photography, but yeah.
It's a very deep red. It's black red.
Well, the funny thing is about a couple of these larger stories is that how quickly they've gone away. So the BP oil spill is now obviously nothing's – it's all clean now, isn't it? Isn't it all perfectly pristine, clear water over there now?
I'm sure that if it wasn't pristine and beautiful, we would have continued to hear about it from our media.
Surely.
Mark?
Yes?
That thing you're doing?
I'm not doing it anymore.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. So how many podcasts is it that you produce, Mark?
The Haiti earthquake, Pakistan floods. Oh, how do you say that Icelandic?
Eyjafjallajökull. Eyjafjallajökull. Yeah, I'm sure that I could figure it out given a moment on YouTube.
There was something I saw on TV2 on the news. They did like the interview roundup, and they did like the short clips of all the international presenters trying to pronounce that.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I loved it. I loved sitting here in New Zealand, not needing to take any flights, and watching all these people bitching and moaning while they tried to sleep in airports.
And I also loved the fact that while they were bitching and moaning and saying, "Oh, we should just fly anyway. Look, it's fine." They replayed that air crash investigation of the British Airways one over Indonesia that ingested ash and had a four engine shutdown and
So now here's a question for you. Given now maybe it's not so often in New Zealand we get the odd fogging, but given how often most airports get closed and people get stranded, I mean this is something we hear stories about all the time.
Lots of snow recently, all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
in the Northern Hemisphere they have a lot of that, or I guess at more distant latitudes than we are blessed to live at. Very often you hear stories of 2,000 people stranded in an airport. Given that, why are airports so deathly dull? Why is nothing done to make life easier for those people in the quite common occurrence when people are stranded there?
I guess it's because 99% of the time people are moving through airports.
Yep.
So they're designed to be moved through.
Well, they wouldn't need to be inconvenienced by, having a movie theater at the airport. I don't know when the last time is that you took the Inter-Islander, but the last time I took it, there was a cinema on the ferry. If the Inter Islander can manage to have a cinema for the people, you know, who attack the 3-hour journey, why can't an airport manage to have a fucking cinema? Is it really that big an ask?
It's for stopovers and that sort of stuff as well, yeah.
There's a lot of people who have to spend time at the airport, and it sucks there. They don't have enough seating. They don't have anywhere to sleep. Often they don't have any showers. I mean, would it kill them to put in, you know, a stack of capsule hotel style of things? Then you don't even need to worry about a cinema. Just charge people $2, $4, $5 an hour to go and lie in a thing. And free Wi-Fi, for fuck's sake, Auckland Airport.
Little screen, yeah.
Why is there no free Wi-Fi at Auckland Airport?
It's you just have to spend, you know, half an hour in Wellington Airport to realise how shit Auckland Airport has become without its free Wi-Fi.
Yeah, we don't have any toast art.
No. Airports, why don't you become an airport designer, Morgan, for your next
Easy.
Job?
I would put a fucking roller coaster in that mother. I would have a hydro slide around the aircraft control tower. How great would that be? The aircraft control tower needs to be a tall building, but it's not using all of that shaft. How about a fear fall up and down the side of the aircraft control tower? How fucking incredible would that be?
That would be a very good idea. All airports have a training fuselage that they have sitting out by the runway that they use for fire training and that sort of stuff. Right. They should just, you know, turn that into a hourly ride. You know, sit in your chair, the plane fills with smoke, you've got to jump out the evacuation slides.
Yep.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Practice your evacuations.
And also, another thing, have good food out there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, now airports tend to be in areas... Now, I mean, some airports are incredibly expensive, you know, feats of engineering, like the ones where they build them basically on a you know, man-made island. Auckland Airport, though, was built in an area with a whole lot of really cheap real estate where... I mean, that tends to be huge warehouses and mailing centres. The land down there, it seems to me, has been quite an expensive property. Why not grab a bunch of that land right next to Auckland Airport, build a massive theme park, make the airport a destination, get a fucking train in, for Christ's sake, or even a subway, that'd be even better. But so then if you're stuck at the airport, you know, you just go next door, ride a log flume, play some mini golf, and then your wait was fun and fine and you know, you wouldn't even moan about it.
Well, there is mini golf, and there's also Butterfly Creek, which is a petting zoo and butterfly house.
Yep.
For kids.
Is that a destination? At the airport, though.
Well,
if you were snowed in or you couldn't actually leave the airport, then you're screwed.
How about this for an idea? You have the tallest roller coaster in the world. I guess you've got to worry about your flight path and so on. But you have the tallest roller coaster in the world. You get on there. You get on this motherfucker with your all of your bags, and it's as well as the tallest roller coaster in the world. It's the longest, and it comes with corkscrews and loop the loops all the way into the CBD.
And free bath bags.
Wouldn't that be brilliant? It would be. I mean, we would get people come here just to ride the roller coaster back and forth between the airport and Auckland, wouldn't we? It would be glorious. People in Mangere, every 2.5 minutes, people in Mangere would get very tired of. Tell me it's not a great idea.
It's not a great idea.
It's a wonderful idea.
I think it is a wonderful idea. I think we should make our airport the most fun airport in the world to be at. So we'll get tourists coming down here, and instead of taking that really depressing drive through, you know, fucking crappy
You could do all sorts suburbs. Of things. You know, you could follow up on those ideas to build a canal between the harbours and, you know, do speedboat rides. Have a monorail with open carriages.
Yep.
Sorts of fun stuff.
Monorail! Is there any chance the track will bend? No one's going to sing along? Not at all, my Hindu friend. Fine. You guys suck. You guys haven't been watching The Simpsons religiously for 20-whatever years.
No.
So what? Have you been away, Morgan, during the holidays?
A little bit. Me and Sting Machine, we're going to go up north and go camping. Way up at the top. What's it called? Spirit Bay or something?
Oh, yeah.
But it looked like the weather was a little bit sketchy, so instead we went to a bed and breakfast in Matakana. next to a vineyard, and had just a really lovely little period away.
And like me, we went up to Opononi, which is on the Hokianga Harbour, which I've never been to in living memory. I've been to Tane Mahuta, which is literally...
Isn't it lovely out there?
15 minutes forest, down the road, that's the area.
Forest with the kind of that cool, earthy smell, the leaf litter smell, and then that monster motherfucker tree.
The best thing is we went to see the monster, and then we also went down to see the second biggest, which is interesting because Tane Mahuta is 13 metres around.
Yep.
The second biggest is 16 metres around, but much shorter. So he's a little fat fuck. It's amazing tree. Stucky. It's like almost like one of those baobab trees.
Right.
He's just a trunk with a few leaves at the top.
Right.
Almost more impressive than Tane Mahuta.
So is it the total volume that counts?
I guess.
I would say the diameter would be what I would call biggest or second biggest. Yeah.
Significantly shorter, though. So Tane Mahuta is probably, it looks like a big tree, whereas this other one just looks like a giant fat trunk. It's amazing. But we walked down to see that. That was a 30-minute walk into the forest.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, it started raining. So, you had that earthy smell and the rain coming down through the trees. And
just the sound. Isn't that wonderful?
So New Zealand. It's brilliant.
Wonderful. It's really lovely.
But so you went up north and I went up north. Surely you must have had a horrific time on the road.
No, it was really fast. I went up on the toll road. There were no queues at any point. We just blasted through. That toll road, I hadn't been through the Oriwa Tunnel.
Oh, really?
No, I hadn't. Oriwa. Is it Oriwa? Whatever it is on the toll road.
Puhoi, maybe? Puhoi Tunnel?
Puhoi Tunnel? Fucking tunnel is overstating it a bit. How long is that tunnel? 3 metres? it's like a hole in a wall. How long did it take them to build that thing? No wonder we don't have a subway. Apparently, holes that we dig in New Zealand are dug by one dude with a shovel.
It's a pretty tiny.
I don't think you get a shovel.
It took them. No, maybe he just kind of kicked the hole and through the hill with his boots. It took them years to dig that fucking tunnel, and it's little.
I think the years were to build the viaducts and that other stuff straight in that road.
Shut up, Ben. You and your reality. You're being reasonable.
I thought you must have had a horrible time because the Herald, big red letters. While we were up north, we got one of the Heralds from the Opononi Dairy, and there in red letters on the front, big sign, trapped and angry on a highway of hell.
Oh well, no, that's right. They're talking about the lava flows and demons along the side of the road. But that was all right because we had asbestos tires and
forced to suck.
Suck the devil's cock. Is that what you're going to say?
Tentacle rape and everything. Full on hellish experience.
Yeah, well, there was
for half an hour in traffic.
There was steaming clouds of belching sulfur, but it was a fast flow of traffic.
I think they said at least 4 cars had broken down and overheated on the side of the road.
Oh my God, 4 cars, Ben.
Oh, that was terrible.
Out of the how many tens of thousands would have gone up?
It just pisses me off because I was trying to find before the podcast. I couldn't find it anywhere, but I guess it's probably hidden because Stephen Joyce wouldn't like to see it. But what is the analysis of the number of hours lost on one holiday traffic jam?
Yep.
Versus the number of hours lost to everyday commuting bullshit in Auckland.
I don't think they come anywhere close to comparing. I would say that the commuting delays probably are 2 or 3 orders of magnitude.
Yeah.
Greater waste of time.
Yes, and it's waste of working time as opposed to waste of holiday time. And I know people get stressed on holidays and they get stressed with kids in the cars and that sort of stuff, but God, you know it's going to happen. A, it's predictable completely.
Yep.
And B, it's a holiday. It's only a couple of hours. People make it out like it's a fucking highway of hell. It's really, I think they were saying, my trip was normally 3 hours and it took me 4.5.
Oh my God, 4.5 hours. It was 50% longer. That's outrageous.
Well, the other week you talked about people who like overtake and then just like try and hoon off. And then you catch up with them.
Yeah.
So I drove back from Napier today.
And you were that guy?
No, it was like I was driving along and there was like about 5 cars in front of me and about 10 cars behind me in a big convoy. And the guy directly behind me decides to like try and pull out and trying to overtake like half a convoy in front and then like edging his way back in because there's oncoming traffic. There wasn't much traffic. There was just stupid traffic.
That whole lane hopping thing, probably the height of pointlessness.
Yeah.
Anyway, fucking yes.
Is this a tech podcast or is it a transport podcast?
It's a comedy podcast.
That's a close
But I avoided Hamilton, so I didn't have to battle with the Taniwha.
So what was the Taniwha?
There's a Taniwha under the highway on the road to Hamilton. It was a couple of years ago when they were building the new highway through there that...
It was reclaimed swamp, right?
Long Swamp, I think the place is called. Yeah. Along the area, there is apparently an ancient Taniwha who they didn't want to be disturbed. Good. So they had to move the motorway.
Good, that's something. Excellent. I'm strongly in favour of that because probably that saved natural wetlands from being destroyed by roading.
So I'm in favour of that. Much better excuse.
We've got to catch up with Australia somehow. We need some more roads.
Are we still behind Australia? I was sure that the national government were going to fix that.
They said they were. That's what they campaigned on.
They said they were going to fix that, Ben. You're not going to tell me they lied, Ben. They lied, Ben.
We'll have to vote him out, and then he'll have to resign.
Yeah, well, that's not happening. I think that there's almost no question that they're going to win the next election, right?
It's unbelievable.
Because Phil Goff, he just feels ineffective. He feels kind of weak, like a corporate bureaucrat. You know, one of those.
I mean, yeah, literally wet blanket. It's quite funny when I hear him interviewed on the
Wait,
radio.
Did you just say literally wet blanket?
Well, yeah, when you hear it.
He is literally a wet blanket? He is actually a wet blanket.
When someone asks a question of him on the radio.
Do you mean figuratively?
So I do just feel the smothering dampness come across me.
Yeah, he's got no fucking chance. And it's time to, I guess... It's going to be a good experience for some of the younger members to be blooded in the next election and possibly lose and get hungry. But he is going to lose the next election and then he's going to go out. And then we'll probably have someone else that completely turns off the electorate, like Annette King. And then she'll be rolled within a couple of months. And then maybe they'll be able to rebuild, you know, a decent party again. But they probably won't represent me.
No, the politics is a weird thing, isn't it? Where there seems to be this vibe that even... you know, if you've been in for a long time, you do actually want several terms in opposition to rebuild or to you know, change your tactics. But
and,
I don't agree.
And it worked for National. Look, they had three terms out, and now they're in, and they're probably going to have two terms
storming,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's natural to have, you know, two terms. I think three terms is probably too long for any party, though.
Yeah.
Because I mean, as much as I might not want to, them to do it, you know, the right wingers, there is a certain number of them, and you know, they do have, you know, some right in a democracy to have their way for a while, to destroy the fucking country for a little while, so that we can try and rebuild it again. That's their right.
A reasonably serious mandate too. Speaking of tech podcasts, did you take your kite up north with you?
I did actually take it up north, but I didn't fly it. What Ben is talking about is a little parafoil kite. That is actually a $20 kite that I got at Kathmandu.
Really?
Yep. It's what was the size of it? Was it? It's not 2 meters wide. It's maybe it's 1.7 meters wide.
Well, maybe because when I saw it, there was a guy that were you at bar camp where the guy was talking about kite photography?
Yep.
Yeah, because he had a big sort of lifting kite, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a big one. He had a really big one, and this one isn't big. The reason Ben mentions this is, and we'll put this in the show notes. I attached a camera to it and flew it, and you know, grabbed a little bit of footage.
The way I hear it, you didn't actually attach it.
I did attach it, but instead of using the flash kind of rig it's terrible that I can't remember what his name was. He had a great kite, and he had a really complicated rig with all kind of lines and strings and joints.
Self-balancing, self-leveling, yeah.
Yeah, self-leveling, and probably it's kind of smoothed the flight a little bit as well. In my case, I got a bit of duct tape and stuck the camera directly to the canvas.
Oh, right.
And because the parafoil...
I was going to say, that would probably be why you were moving around so much.
Yeah, moved around a lot. The parafoil design means that there are air cells that inflate and become quite rigid and expand. And when that happened, it loosened the tape. So the camera plummeted, you know, the 100, 200 feet, whatever, from the kite to the ground.
Was this the cheapy point and shoot, I hope?
It was a cheapy little action cam, not even really and shoot. Yeah, yeah. Like a little mountain bike camera.
Yep.
No screen, very robust. I made the mistake of putting a wide-angle lens on it, though, and I don't know where that is, but that's somewhere at Bastion Point still.
So the lens came out mid-flight, did it?
Yeah, or maybe during one of the several crashes.
Bounces.
Yeah, who knows where it is?
Do we have impact footage online at all?
No, I haven't actually put any footage up because it's basically unwatchable. Because it's moving around so much that because whatever it is, a CCD or a CMOS, whatever, whichever one has the problem, it's got that Jellycam scan rate problem. That sensor lag thing. So it's got some really fascinating shots though, like with three horizons kind of facing one another, and then with the third one kind of wobbling in an S shape in a single frame. Yeah, how does it manage that?
It is interesting. So yeah, it's because the scan lines are scanning so slow to take one shot that the camera's already moved to three different places while it's still scanning.
It's really wobbling around. So and stills, the stills look cool, but the video is just awful.
See, I'm jealous because I had some money from Christmas to use at my leisure, and I was debating between getting a FPV first person view rig for my.
I suggest you get cocaine and fireworks.
My radio control plane, but I didn't. I got something else, and
cocaine and fireworks. It's a recipe for a fun weekend.
I should say while we were away, our neighbours mentioned that the back neighbours from us stayed up till 4 a.m. and were firing fireworks at our fence. So maybe they were on pee or cocaine and fireworks. Oh, I have to ask them.
Yeah. Hey, were you on pee the other day when you were firing fireworks at our fence?
They do sleep until like 6 p.m, so I think they're regular pee users.
There can't be any other explanation, shift workers.
No. Fucking young people. Ugh. Yeah, but no, I didn't get a camera rig, and so I had to watch closely your developments. Do you think that you've got the right kite, or do you think you need
to lift kite? No, absolutely not. And I didn't really buy it for that.
Doesn't hold in a steady angle. It sort of wobbles too much.
Yes, it definitely wobbles. It's a lot of fun though. It's very light, and because it's got no ribs, you know, you just roll it up, chuck it in the boot. Nothing to break. I mean, I didn't care about crashing it, and probably the right camera in some senses as well, because I just didn't care if it fell, and it didn't seem to matter. I mean, it fell so hard that the slider switch turned off, and it was still fine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The drink, by the way, I just said interesting.
Interesting. I've been drinking the whole time. I think that Mark Derrickett has just identified the photographer we're talking about. Was it Murray Neal?
Murray Neal. I've been following his blog for quite a few years, and he does a lot of kite photography.
And is this the same guy that we're talking about from Foo Camp? I mean, from Bar Camp?
I don't think this is the guy from Bar Camp, no.
Right, okay. We should probably give credit to that guy because he's kind of where I got the idea.
It is a really great hobby. It's such a simple thing to do.
This is murrayneal.co.nz. This guy's taken it really seriously, and he's got a decent rig, and he takes really crisp, sharp photos. I'll put it in the show notes, murrayneal.co.nz.
He's probably hauling a bloody DSLR out there or something.
Madness. I believe he does have a DSLR with like some quite good lenses.
That's crazy.
What a lunatic.
I remember looking at it and going, oh, my God, what's your insurance policy like? I would not want to throw my cameras up there or...
I guess, if you just got, an old 30D or something, then maybe you wouldn't mind too much. But, God, what size must his kite be to lift that weight of a camera?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Monster. Anyway, next story. Do we have any more stories? I don't really have any stories. How about this one?
Your lonely story was interesting, though.
Now, this is from Futurity, and it's a story. I'm very sorry. from Futurity, and the headline is, Many Adults Are Chronically Lonely. Now, there's something called the UCLA Loneliness Scale, which is a series of questions, 10 questions. I'm sure I had
it. Kind of, often never... sometimes.
Yeah, my loneliness often makes my heart ache. Yeah, that person's lonely. It's a pretty simple question. But they asked,
if you answer often to that.
Yeah, that they asked over 3,000 people aged over 45, and 35% of them were found to be chronically lonely, according to this scale, which is actually really sad. I mean, get these people together. Paul Henry would probably say, form a group. But I suggest that you actually do form a group. You form a group called civil society in which everyone can be friendly to one another all the time. How about that for an idea?
But isn't that like just like the goths? You get a lot of lonely people together and they're still lonely.
Yeah. Well, I suppose you can be. It's possible to be lonely in a crowd. Usually that's a symptom of depression, though, isn't it? Rather than just general loneliness.
Well, is 35%
of people... Maybe they deserve to be lonely. Awkward people. Fuck awkward people. We need to buy an island and put all the awkward people on it, and then they can go and be lonely together.
Well, I tell you what, maybe get on Twitter and Facebook and meet some people.
Yeah.
Be less lonely.
Yeah, yeah. I had a really weird time because my last you know long-term relationship was so long. We formed, you know, all of our friends were shared friends.
Right.
And so it was really strange when we broke up. There was kind of a worry that
you can't be friends with them because they're friends with her. And
exactly. And it didn't really happen, basically, is what it amounts to. Everyone just continued to be friends, and it was great. And I'm kind of – I've got, you know, what I probably consider, you know, personally to be a bit of a challenging personality sometimes. And I'm still generally not lonely.
You're letting yourself down.
Yeah, all the time.
Carry on.
Well, let's be fair. I do have a challenging personality. I'm a bit combative. I'm quite, you know.
I think everyone with interesting personalities have challenging personalities until you get to know them.
Right. Well, that's nice of you to say.
You just need to adjust to people's personalities.
And so if I don't have to be lonely, why do 35% of people aged over 45 have to be lonely? I think that's terrible. Maybe they smell bad. But whatever the problem is, it's kind of our job as the rest of society to make people never feel like their hearts ache. They're so lonely. That's really terrible. I hate that.
I flat alone, and every so often you get that kind of feeling of, I just need to do something, and you can't be bothered going out, and you're just going to – you can self-feed your own loneliness.
Yeah.
But then I used to go out for a coffee and talk to a barista.
Yeah.
And then you just get over it and move on.
Or you give me a call, Mark.
Oh, yeah. You're a friend, aren't you?
Yep.
Oh.
Yes, my brother.
Or you jump on Twitter and you find some other people who are shut-ins.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean...
Or your former podcast.
Former group. But you're right, Morgan. I have that kind of personality where if I see someone standing alone at a party, I'll go and chat to them just to see what they're like or see, you know.
I will assume that they're standing alone because they're being shunned by the group, and I will join the group in shunning them.
He must be a bad person.
Must be bad.
It's just that they're Mr. Popular and everyone else just doesn't know how to talk to them.
That's right. Oh, this is actually, it's funny. Have you ever encountered beautiful woman syndrome? This is women who are used to being, you know, the hot stuff and getting, you know, men fawning around them. And then possibly it doesn't always happen, but when you get someone with beautiful woman syndrome and a group with nerds, they seem kind of confused at why they're being ignored by the boys just comparing phones. It's quite hilarious to watch. Why aren't you paying attention to me? Look, I've got tits. Don't care.
Yeah, so the rest of the guys here.
Yeah. What are you even doing here?
There's the opposite of that, though, isn't there, where people are assumed to be, if someone is attractive and perhaps a celebrity and perhaps interesting, and they don't talk to everyone, they're assumed to be snobbish, but they could just be really shy.
And everyone is a person, regardless of whether you recognize their face from a magazine or not. They're still a person.
Yeah.
You know, just talk to people like they're people. That's all. Don't assume you know anyone unless you've, you know, actually spoken to them on several occasions.
Yes. Next story?
Next story. Have you heard? I'm just going to get through my two stories just to get them out of the way. Actually, no, there's one thing. Let's talk about that in a minute. This is not the beginning of a new series. This is something that just coincidentally I noticed on the Best of Wikipedia blog, and it's called The Small Penis Rule. Have you heard of the Small Penis Rule?
I can't say I have.
Well, this is something, apparently, it's used to avoid libel lawsuits. So if you have, you know, a fiction novel or a movie or something in which there's a character who would otherwise be recognizable as some particular person, you also describe that person as having a very small penis. And once you do that, the person in question will never say, that's clearly about me, I'm going to sue you. Because no man wants to claim to being identifiable as having a small penis.
That's a fantastic idea.
And it's called the small penis rule.
That's
inspired. Wow. That's...
Mark is lost for words.
Yep.
Anyway, just a little story.
Like most of the time.
just wanted to get that one out there so you can think about it. Think about it a little bit. So what have you got, Ben?
Oh, it's this time of year. It's like my time of the month. This time of year, around the 4th or 5th of January every year, is CES, the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas. So it's the biggest day on the gadget calendar, really. Globally.
So as a gadget nerd and reviewer and so on.
And attendee of a tech podcast.
You are no. This is a transport podcast.
It's but just the thing is, the last couple of years have just, I don't know. Maybe on that loneliness scale, I need to.
No, we tested Mark. No, Mark. We tested Ben. Now, according to the scale, if you're over 30, then you're probably chronically lonely. If you're between 15 and 20 on this scale, then you have normal loneliness. The lowest score is 10. The highest score is 40. Ben scored a 10, which means he is the least possible lonely.
I didn't listen closely to the questions, but each question I thought, nah, I'm fine. No, that's not me. My heart doesn't ache with loneliness. I don't worry about being, you know, alone or anything like that.
Yeah. But I guess is part of that about having kids?
Possibly.
You actually probably wish you could be more alone.
You're surrounded by family. You've got kids, you've got a wife, you've got brothers, you've got everyone around you, whereas other people who live alone and with family distant, they don't. So you'd have ebbs and
flows. But surely I'm not unusual.
I would say that you were quite unusual, Ben.
But as I was saying, as if there was questions that said, "Are you despairing at the state of gadgets? Do you hate hearing about them?" I'd have to say yes.
Oh, woe is me! Yeah. I witnessed Google TV at CES this year.
And there'll be another 50 handycams. There'll be 3D TV. There'll be just shit.
So I saw a headline. I'm not going to pretend to have read an actual article
because when would I ever do that?
I saw a headline that 3D TVs are basically disappointing in their sales, and so now manufacturers are starting to push something called a smart TV. Is that true, or was it a joke?
It's probably true.
And what is a smart TV?
There's probably no content for 3D TVs yet.
No, and the thing is, the smart TVs are...
What is a smart TV?
Where do I start? The 3D TV I have has got... You can view YouTube, you can plug a webcam into it and do Skype. You can plug a USB drive into it and record Freeview, all that sort of stuff. I guess that's a smart TV, but all of it's done atrociously badly.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of kids taking a swipe at it with some crayons to do the UI, and it's slow because it's not a PC. It's just it's probably just got some, compact processor in there.
Smart TV?
Yeah.
Running Java, isn't it?
I had to upgrade it the other day. I had to upgrade the firmware of my TV, for God's sake.
Did you have to reboot?
It did actually tell me to shut down, to turn off and turn back on again when I finished upgrading the firmware.
Oh, lovely.
Who wants that? Who would actually ask for that?
Not me. But then I don't have a TV at all.
Well, I think Skybox do something similar when they get new firmware.
What's do something similar?
Like the Sky Digital boxes.
Yeah.
When they get new firmware, they have to reboot.
Right. Yeah, they upgrade themselves. But the thing is and people wonder why Apple has just, in the last day or so, overtaken Microsoft as the second biggest in, air quotes, company in the world. Second largest by capitalization on the New York Stock Exchange, second only to ExxonMobil.
Yeah.
And, they do one phone and they do... a couple of computers. They don't put out 12 handycams a year. You compare them to Sony. Look how huge Sony is.
Yeah.
And Microsoft and HP, these other tech companies, and yet Apple is valued more. And I think that's correct.
Yeah.
It's correctly valued as valuable as those other.
When's
companies.
The last time Apple did anything innovative?
That's not the point.
I don't think it's also the fact that they only have one phone, because you could argue that they've got three or four phones now with like the 3G, 3GS, the 4. Yeah, but it's much more that they've got down.
No, but they only sell perfect. Really one at a time, don't they?
Integration. I mean,
there's some leftover 3GSs, but really they only sell the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
Right.
But what they've got down perfectly is the integration.
The integration with fucking iTunes, which is a complete piece of shit.
Okay, well, the integration is good. iTunes itself is not.
Yeah.
But
you know, the thing is they do have faults, and you know, like I say, the iPhone 4 has been performing terribly for me, and you know, some of their security stuff is interesting. Like, look at the way that Safari got completely owned within about 6 seconds or whatever it was in the latest DEFCON.
And Chrome didn't. And they're based on the same code base originally.
Yeah.
Well, they're all the same render, but different JavaScript engines, but this is not a tech podcast, is it?
It can be.
You know, the iPhone alarms didn't work on New Year's Day or the day out, you know, or during the extended daylight savings. So the thing is that none of that matters. Does anything matter? It's really hard to explain.
Not really. If you generally enjoy the thing, you know, the few little glitches. Yeah. I mean, life is life, man. We're all made of, you know, atoms. We're all fallible beings, and all of our devices are fallible as well.
Yeah. So what they've got is the mind share. So basically, everyone in the world knows if you want the pinnacle of X, you know, phone, laptop, you know, tablet, then the word Apple has to be there somewhere. And none of the other companies have that. They all compete at the same kind of swill level and can't break out. And Apple's broken out, and I think that's why it's valued so highly.
The only problem...
And they're not at CES. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. The only problem I have with Apple's laptops is that they run OS X.
They don't have to.
No, they don't have to, but out of the box they do. And OS X is a piece of shit, and I just don't understand the perspective of people who enjoy using it. I mean, I've tried. Believe me, I've tried. I've got an iMac on my desk, and I've got, you know, another machine on my desk. And the iMac, I just never use it. I just hate OS X. It's just so hard to use.
I used it for about 9 months as my main work PC when I was at a different job.
Yeah.
And it took a good 4 or 5 of those 9 months to really come to terms with it.
Wow, that's intuitive.
Yeah.
That's coming from Windows, though, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
So coming from a Linux perspective, I actually quite like OS X because you've still got all the Unix-y stuff underneath, which from a development perspective I use more than I probably use the GUI stuff.
Yep.
True.
But I'm a Linux user as well. It's just that I don't use it as my desktop.
And your primary OS.
On my laptop I do, but on my desktops, no. You're right. And I don't like it. I don't like Linux on the desktop either.
You want choice, don't you? You want freedom.
What I've got is freedom. You're right. What I've got is freedom.
You want Android.
is that what I want?
Or Chrome OS?
I want Chrome. No, I don't want Chrome OS. You're mad. You're mad. That's madness. The best operating system right now is definitely Windows 7. And I don't really. Do we even need to debate that? That's just the truth. It's in the Bible.
I put a fresh Windows 7 on Alex's laptop, you know, paved it, put it on, and used, again, no sponsorship here, but ninite.com, fucking fantastic site. You just go there, you take everything you want, you know.
All the shovelware. Box,
PDF, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's it, you know, within probably 15 minutes, it was all up and running. It was perfect. Lovely.
Nice. So is that kind of like an app store?
No, it's a well, yes, it's all for free apps. But you know how when you install a new PC, you got to remember, I've got to put Adobe on, I've got to put an FTP client, an unzipper, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
you just go there and you tick the ones you want, and that has, you know, the top three or four
FileZilla, 7-Zip.
Yep, 7-Zip, exactly. And then it gives you one installer and you just run it and it downloads and installs everything.
God damn, that's hot. And that's actually really handy. The Sting Machine just made a note. Cool. Because I think I mentioned...
NITE.com.
Right. Yeah. And I think we mentioned on episode 11 the how kind of fucked up the PC industry is with their... every manufacturer has too many models. We finally made our way through that and she got a Acer Timeline X.
I think that's
right. Yeah, it's really lovely. It's actually really good. I like it a great deal. And the price was actually quite kind of jaw-droppingly cheap.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you don't get, what do they call it? The aluminium process that they use, the milled aluminium. You don't get milled aluminium for for that, but you do get, you know, a very thin and light laptop with like an 8-hour battery life and so on for fucking cheap as.
Nice.
And a really nice video system. It's been, yeah, it's good fun. But but another problem, as well as the overcomplicated product ranges and PC laptops, you also get all that fucking shovelware that comes with them.
Oh, good God.
Endless shitty goddamn software pre-installed.
I know. It's at the point where you basically do have to do a reinstall. Yep. You don't, because even uninstalling it leaves crud behind, so you've really got to just take a disk
and horrible.
Format it on the first day.
PC manufacturers just really don't do themselves any favours. And this is something that I generally avoid because, I mean, as I mentioned, I use Linux on my laptop. But I also, I tend to build my own machines. So I don't encounter that shovelware. I just, you know, I have a fresh install because it's really the only option. And, oh my God, what are these people doing to their users? For the sake of, I don't even know what they make, to, you know, by selling the desktop to these horrible antivirus companies and shitty productivity programs and crappy little games arcade tools and useless shit. I mean, what do they make? $2? So let me pay $3 and not get it.
Exactly. Was it Intel that bought McAfee recently? And what's that about? So is that because, you know, because they're sick of having to pay them 50 cents a PC or whatever it is they pay them?
They're all dead anyway.
I really like that laptop.
Microsoft Security Essentials.
Yes.
Is going to fuck them all because it is so clean and so good.
And
fuck
that's in
all
the
that
night,
other shit.
Night now as well. You just tick that box. Right. And yeah, you're
so
away.
So you just check that out, Mark?
Yeah, and one of the good things of it, it's got a nice drip tray. So if you spill any drinks or anything through your keyboard, you don't have to buy a friggin' new laptop.
You killed your MacBook Pro just before Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Man, that must have been painful.
You're saying the laptop's got a drip tray?
Yeah, most modern laptops that I've seen from like Acer and that, you've got a drip tray under the keyboard, so if you spill liquid through it, you can just replace the keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a nice laptop. The only change I would probably make would be a higher resolution screen. It's only, 1366, 768 or whatever, and I'd like something a bit higher than that. Just for my uses, it's useful to be a little bit higher than that. Photo stuff and video stuff and so on.
I'm seriously flagging, so shall we move on?
Crack on! Moving on! What's next? Do we want
to
talk
about the dictionary word of the week? Are we still doing this in 2011, or is that...
Oh, God, yes. That's the only thing that I kept doing the show for. Now, do we want to do this high-frequency trade thing? Let's cover it briefly.
Yes. So recent research showed that 56% of all trades through the New York Stock Exchange are done automatically by computers located in New Jersey right next to the main stock exchange computers.
That sounds extraordinarily dangerous.
And they're high-frequency trades. And, yeah, it's getting to the point where basically the length of the wire matters because they're running so fast.
Right.
So they're all parked in the other half of the building to the New York Stock Exchange.
How completely hideous.
Some people say that it's good because it makes sure there's very little going on in arbitrage. It keeps buyers and sellers close together.
Right.
But they're making shit tons of money out of it, so for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing but swallowing up that arbitrage as soon as it appears.
Well, I think maybe this would probably be something that would be interesting to talk to someone who actually knows what they're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, we should probably actually – I might ask around and find someone. Because, I mean, it's pretty straightforward, basically. I say I'll buy a share at 50 cents and you say you'll sell it at 49.5.
Yeah.
I just immediately put in a trade for that 49.5 and sell it to you for 50 cents within fractions of a second.
Right.
And I make a half a cent.
Yeah. And if you do that 45 million times an hour,
yeah,
it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right. So let's move on from that because we don't really probably know a great deal about it. My favorite story, certainly of the day, is women laughing alone with salad.
It's a good story. It's highlighting the amazing genre that is stock photography.
Yeah, and I think we can fill the related photos with those and completely rip off that website that went to the trouble of assembling them together. And this is just a whole lot of photos of a woman alone with a salad laughing. And there are a lot.
And that's not on Tumblr.
Oh, God, thank God it's not on Tumblr. Fuck, Tumblr. God.
Have you tried iStockphoto, though?
Not lately.
But I bet you if I searched it right now for woman salad smiling.
Yeah. You'll get thousands of results.
Look at them. Oh, it's amazing. You should try it. There's even a topless one for you, Morgan.
Whoa, wait.
iStockphoto.com. And then
I'll be right back, guys.
Type in woman salad smiling. There's many, many, many more than that are on that website.
Woman smiling salad. Welcome to the show, Discourse Internet Radio.
Oh my god, there's a lot here.
I got no results.
Oh, there's a family smiling too.
Woman salad smiling.
Woman salad smiling.
With spaces.
Welcome to the show. It's internet radio. With Ben and Morgan and Morgan and Ben. Yeah, good grief, there's a lot of them. Where's this topless one? Oh, she's covering her tits with her hands. You've wasted my time. You're wasting my time, Ben.
She's wearing a salad.
My big soft has turned into an Annie.
There's 31 pages. There's 31 pages of women smiling with salad.
It is.
It's great.
It is completely mad. It is hilarious.
Stock photo. I was. Who was I talking to about? There must be a you know, entire websites, entire videos of stock photo that you could do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you search for multicultural computer.
Yeah.
And there will be, you know, plenty of people standing around smiling at a computer.
I love it.
You know, looking like for all the world, like every single ad from HP and Sony and Microsoft.
Yep. We'll fill the show notes. Hey guys, guess what time it is?
It's the what? The weekly discourse.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Discourse Weekly Show. Urban Dictionary Word of the Week. Are you ready?
We don't need a sting machine anymore.
No, we don't need the sting machine, but I'll play the sting anyway.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Sting machine, do you want to get on? Do you want to play the game? No? All right, fine. No, she just looked at me and was like, die. All right, so who am I going to address this one to? I'm going to address this one to Mark Derricott.
Oh,
you
dear.
Are the player okay. Number one. Your word of the week is passenger brake.
Passenger brake.
Passenger brake. Urban Dictionary word of the week on the Discourse Weekly Show. I'm singing while you think. And three.
I'm getting the visual of where you're driving along and you're suddenly slam your brakes on and your passenger just kind of like rams into either the back seat of the car behind the seat behind you.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
So if they're not wearing their seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
And just hopefully they're not in the passenger seat and going through the window.
Yeah. Now, television's Ben Gracewood.
I'm going to make a refinement on that. And it's the act of the passenger braking against the firewall when you don't brake as the driver. So that the passenger, you come close something and the passenger stomps on the firewall.
Yep. Television's Benedict Gracewood, you won this week.
Again, two in a row.
Yep.
Yes. Oh, no.
Very well done. No one else
I am
has
the weakest
ever done,
link.
Yeah, you are. But it was an excellent guess. Now, that was actually Word of the Day in 2009 in March. It's had over 9,000 upvotes and about 600 downvotes. Their usage, have they got a usage here? No, they don't have a usage, but exactly how they describe it is the passenger brake is the non-existent brake pedal located on the floor of the passenger shotgun side of the front seat of your car. It is used instinctively by the passenger when the driver is driving insanely too fast and the car needs to come quickly to a stop, which may not seem very possible at that particular moment.
Reminds me of my dad when I was learning to drive.
It is sometimes used in conjunction with the oh shit handle by the passenger door. I've been known to use the passenger brake when being driven by Mark Derricott. Accelerates fast and brakes late. And as far as I know, he's only had one small child through the windscreen of his car.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Only one. And she bounced.
Yeah, I wasn't joking about that, Ben.
Ouch.
Was not a fun experience, I'll tell you.
Yeah, not much fun for the child either. Maybe you should slow down sometime, Mark. As much as we would like to blame the mother there.
Well, the police did. She walked out into moving traffic, pushing her pram, carrying her kid.
Yeah. Golly.
Nasty.
It's bad news. All right. What's next?
New projects from you, Morgan? What have you been doing?
I have a big new project. I am not announcing it yet.
Okay.
No new projects from me, really.
Now, Ben has a new project, and that is that he is an MVP, a Microsoft, what is that, Microsoft's most valuable what?
Yeah, well, it's the old American MVP thing they use for sports teams, really.
But, most valuable player.
Yeah, but I think they call them most valuable professionals. It's really, there's several thousand around the world. It is people who are recognized for bigging up Microsoft to the communities. So I got nominated because I did a lot of talking around the traps at TechEd and training and Twittering and all sorts of stuff. So I'm a Windows Phone MVP, apparently.
Why am I not a Windows MVP?
Because they need to say things positively.
No, I think you say positive things about Windows all the time.
I say a whole lot of positive things.
It's about helping people out online and
yeah, I'm not going to do that. Help yourself. Read the fucking manual, asshole. Windows 7 is easy. Just plug it in and go.
But the one good thing several good things about it, I get to sign an NDA and find out all sorts of interesting information, which is cool.
Yeah.
But also, there's a summit in Seattle, and I never really thought about going to Seattle, but apparently I'm going to go to Seattle. So if anyone's got any ideas of things to do,
stand in the rain, have sex with a doctor, start a grunge band.
Grunge band, coffee, go to the first Starbucks.
Oh, yeah, you could do that, I guess.
Although one thing I have seen, I just found out today, is there's a museum of flight up there which has the original 747.
Wow,
It has a Blackbird, SR-71 Blackbird, and a Concorde.
Ooh, so the Blackbird would be exciting.
Check that out. Yeah, and it's got the original Air Force One as well.
Oh, well, that's maybe not. So, is it made of wood?
No, it's I don't know what it is, DC-10 or something like that, is it?
Right. What's next? What's next? That's really cool. And congratulations being made an MVP, Ben.
And seriously, if anyone does have any cool ideas for Seattle, let me know. I'd love to know what to do there.
And so I guess you'll send that in and it'll be in the mailbag, which we'll read out now. In the show notes, the mailbag has a question mark next to it. Now, we've had lots
We had some nice feedback.
Nice feedback because, of course, encouraged by the fact that we are giving away a phone and a backup thing, and we gave away a keyboard? A Microsoft Arc keyboard or something?
Yes, we should get those in the mail this week, I imagine.
Exciting. Mm. For the people who listened to the live show, you were in for the keyboard. The people listening now, if you haven't already entered, you've already missed out.
You guys think the live show actually went? From a recording perspective?
I think aside from the kind of disaster that we had with Skype, where who knew that if one person dropped out, the whole conversation ended.
I don't know what I was doing there. How did you? Well, you just hang up on Mark separately just before, though.
Yeah, but I started the conversation with you.
Yeah, if you kill the initial conversation, it kills all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was what was going on the whole time.
And then, of course, restarting the conversation restarted it with all the same people.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a disaster. Aside from that, there were a few pauses that I really desperately wanted to edit, but I had said that I was going to leave it quite live feeling. And I hated it. I hated the pauses. The pauses give me hives or something.
I felt like it went really well. I got a really good vibe from the opening of the show where we did have to run five different things together to make it work.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a very different feel because at the moment we just start the show pretty casually, but banging out those... You know, the intro, the sting, that stuff together really almost kicked it off in a good way.
Yeah. I when it was working, it was really good.
Yes.
Yeah. And when we had little problems, it was easy to kind of sideline the show.
Yeah. Well, what was interesting that for me having the live show is that any other time I would probably have those the guests on for longer because we were talking about interesting stuff, but I basically cut them off.
Yeah.
Which is, again, an interesting thing, which I guess people in radio and TV do all the time. You just cut people off and say, that's it, cool, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
And so it does mean that if I did it again, I would have planned out my questions better.
Yeah.
And got through them, you know, cut other questions off to get through the questions I had as opposed to just, cutting a person off halfway through.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We don't really have a mailbag, but write in with suggestions for Seattle for Ben. Do we have any corrections?
Not that I'm aware. Like you said, I think in the live show we probably said all sorts of stuff that was wrong, but I don't have any corrections.
Me neither. Do you think we should be corrected on anything, Mark?
Not offhand.
No. All right. No corrections then. It was perfect.
Well, the only thing is that you're no longer New Zealand's best podcast.
That simply isn't
Why
true.
Not?
You're New Zealand's best podcast of 2010.
Oh, my God. You're right. And we're going to be the best of 2011 and 12 and 13. And then in 2014, some fucking little turd of some little 17-year-old boy is going to come along, and he's going to fluke into being New Zealand's best podcast, and we'll take him out. We'll go all. Who was that ice skater who smashed the other one in the knee?
Tonya Harding.
We'll go Tonya Harding on his little Nancy Kerrigan ass.
We'll smash his microphone up.
Smash his jaw up. Be entertaining through wide shut jaw, asshole. Yes, I'm making jokes about beating up a teenage boy. So we actually have something really cool to do now, and that is announce the winners of the phone. What was the phone, Ben? It was an Idios what?
Huawei Idios 1850.
And that's an Android phone.
Yes, it is.
Is that why we're giving it away instead of you using it?
Degrees.
Why haven't you got, now that you're an MVP, can you get us some Windows 7 phones? Can we give one of them away?
Hopefully we'll have a crack at it.
Give one of them away and give one to me. I'm only one quarter joking. And so we have the Idios phone, and we also have that easy wireless backup thing.
Yes, the click-free wireless backup.
Right.
Which, if the wireless thing doesn't work for you, it's a 500 gigabyte external hard drive. So.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. And it looks like a cool little device. All right, so I have just
done... Do we have a drum roll?
Do we have a drum roll? No. Yes, we have.
Boom.
Right, I can do this. Come on. Where is it?
He's searching for drum roll.
And the winner is...
Of the wireless backup device.
Su Yin Koo.
Yay!
Congratulations, Su Yin. Use it in good health, and maybe after you've had it for a while. When are we posting them out, Ben?
We'll have to email the winners to get their addresses. I guess we didn't ask for their addresses.
Oh, so, that's right. That's absolutely right. So, Su Yin, it'd be great if you could tell us, you know, maybe what your experience is once you've used it.
We'll follow you an email. Yeah, fire an email, and yep.
And
good.
Now for the phone. It's only lucky little bastard Sam McCosh.
Brand new Huawei Idios.
You dirty little jammy bastard. And if either of you motherfuckers sells these things, you're giving us half of what you sell them for. And that is fair.
There was no condition on entry. They're allowed to sell them, unfortunately.
No, shut the fuck up. They're giving us half for operating costs. Because I'm going to need a new heart with the way I treat my body.
Defray costs.
So listen to me, I'm not kidding. If you sell them, give us half. That still means you're making a lot of free money, assholes.
Congratulations. And I'd like to think this is the beginning of a small continuing story of giveaways. We'll see how we go.
Yep. I will give away to the first person who writes in one box of 3 Palms superior quality matches. There's only been about 5 or 10 used.
I tell you what, to a 5,000th listener, I'll give away an iPhone 4.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be me. What do you mean 5,000th listener? How do we quantify that? Because it's very likely that we've had 5,000 listens already.
5,000th regular subscriber.
All right.
But how do you judge that?
I'm going to judge it right now. Congratulations, Morgan Nickel, 5,000th regular subscriber. You find an iPhone 4 from Ben.
I had to get the iPhone 4.
Oh, Ben, this is such a surprise. Oh, God, this is the best thing I've ever won, Ben. I'm so happy. Give it to me quickly.
I need to test the subscription numbers.
No. Just give me a minute to fake them. Is that the end of the show? Have we got anything else to do?
No, that's it. End of the show. You can obviously find the show notes on the site, discourse.co.nz.
And if you have feedback, then send email to comments@discourse.co.nz or go to the talkback page at discourse.co.nz.
Yes, it's easy place for that. We need to the competition's officially closed. We'll take away the sign-in form so we don't get any more entries.
Yep.
If you'd like to, you can leave us a voice message as well.
Yeah, send an MP3.
Send us an MP3.
Yep. Just attach that to your email. Don't send a big file, though. Asshole.
Or we'll send the URL to a file.
Yeah, that would be even better. Because if you don't do that, I will blacklist you from the entire internet.
Thank you. Beware. It's been a great time. Tell us what you think of the remote version.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
I know what it's going to be already.
So, oh, and thanks for joining us, Mark.
It's always interesting.
Is it though?
Well, I say interesting with a slight grimace with fear and it's kind of disturbing. That's enjoyable. Okay, now that was disturbing.
All right. Have a good night. See you later.
See ya.
Thank you, listeners. Goodbye.
All right.
You're listening to the weekly show on with course.
All right, we're using that one.